Typically, Russ, we start off by talking about news out of Hollywood, but today we get to make a little news of our own.
That's right.
Some very exciting news coming out of the Michigan Theater in relation to the Cinetopia International Film Festival.
Yes, we were just awarded a sizable grant for Cinetopia to expand Cinetopia in Detroit. So we did an outpost of Cinetopia last year this June at the Detroit Institute of Arts, and next summer, next June, when Cinetopia 2014 comes around, we'll have even more activities in downtown Detroit. Still lots of great things going on in Ann Arbor. That's where we started out. But we're very excited about this opportunity to work with the Knight Foundation and a lot of great folks in Detroit to build a festival, which was the original vision anyway, to be a regional festival for Southeast Michigan. And Detroit has a great history of cinema. It's a vibrant, super vibrant right now, cultural center with a lot of creative activity going on.
And we're really expanding that cultural corridor with this partnership.
Absolutely. And we're going to learn a lot from Detroit. And I hope that everybody benefits tremendously from this opportunity that's provided, again, by the Knight Foundation, who just announced 56 grants to artists and arts organizations throughout Detroit. Again, it was a Detroit-focused grant program, and there were 1,400 applications for this grant. 56 people were funded, and we were very, very proud to be one of those recipients and to expand Cinetopia.
So now there's going to be more opportunities. So I can go see and enjoy Cinetopia here in Ann Arbor, and then I can also go to Detroit because the festival will run through the weekend, and I can kind of get different experiences from the same festival.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know, Sundance has several locations. Cleveland has several locations. It's not uncommon for this to happen in a metropolitan area.
Very exciting.
Yep.
And I also understand that despite the cloud cover today, you're feeling a little sunny at the Michigan Theater.
That's right. The Clean Energy Coalition approached us several years ago, actually, with the idea of installing some solar panels. The Michigan Theater is a fairly large roof, mm-hmm. and so we put some solar panels up there, and the solar panels generate approximately the amount of energy needed to run the marquee. Now, the way it works is the solar panels collect electricity during the day when it tends to be the peak period for electricity, feeds it to the Detroit Edison system, and then gives us an energy credit. So that energy credit then...
So it's a cost offset.
Absolutely, absolutely, and we're making a small contribution to the electrical generation that that the Michigan Theater can use during the day, and actually anybody.
You're gonna put a lot less light bulbs in the landfills too.
we'll hope that it works out on lots of different levels. So
yeah.
Anyway, we appreciate the Clean Energies Coalition's good work to put the fundraising together to make that work, and also bring the expertise to make that project work.
Well, now we can talk a little news out of Hollywood.
That's right. Well. The Wizard of Oz, which was originally released in 1939, has been
and is held hostage for all but one day of the year.
That's right. It actually lost money on its first release in 1939.
Did it really? Well, it was a huge production.
It was a very, very expensive movie to make at the time. So they kind of, I don't know if they did it as a loss leader. I think they hoped that it made money, but it was just such an expensive production that in its initial release, it didn't make back its investment. But it's made back its investment many times over for many years, being shown on television as a big, big television event. But now it's going to be released. They're putting computer magic to it, and they're going to turn it into a 3D movie. There's a couple of movie folks out in L.A. who have seen excerpts from it, and they say, you know, it actually looks pretty good because the whole Technicolor process that was used back in 1939 created this kind of cartoon look to it.
Right, very bright.
And so adding the 3D illusion to it doesn't disrupt it as much as at least this guy's viewing of it.
I think it would be very interesting, but I bet there's some traditionalists who are saying, this cannot happen.
Well, the other thing, they're doing it in an IMAX format, and IMAX, the conceit of IMAX is that you obliterate the edges of the image so that you're basically put in the middle of the image, and that's not how The Wizard of Oz was created at all. There's definitely a frame, and it was organized around being viewed within a frame. So anyway, it is some technical wizardry, and there's only a limited number of screenings around the country. It's opening on September 20th at the Chinese Theater in L.A., the very, very famous theater that's being reconfigured as an IMAX theater. So anyway, we'll see what happens there.
My relationship to Telluride has always been about the music festival, but yours is with the movie festival.
That's right. Well, Telluride is one of those resort places out in Colorado that people go to, and they have a very impressive film festival over Labor Day, and they never announce what the movies are going to be. Now, right now, there's the Toronto Film Festival going on. It opened up a week ago, and it runs through this weekend, so there's a lot of news coming out of there. But the news for Telluride is now completely out, and all the movies were reviewed. Some of the highlights are Salinger, which is about J.D. Salinger, the author of Catcher in the Rye and lots of other stuff, and it's a documentary film about his unusual life. It's actually going to play the Michigan Theater. It was supposed to open, actually, on September 6th, but it keeps being pushed back by the distributor. So by the end of the month, we expect Salinger to be playing at the Michigan Theater. Hayao Miyazaki's new film, the famous, very impressive Japanese animation artist. His supposedly last film, The Wind Rises, was played there. It's going to be released by Disney by the end of the year for Academy Award consideration, but it will be in broadly released in early 2014. Trax is about an Australian woman who walks across the vast desert and in for a 2,000-mile trek across Australia. The Invisible Woman is Ralph Fiennes, a quasi-modern adaptation of Coriolanus. And on and on. Penn and Teller have a movie called Tim's Vermeer, which is a documentary film, actually. It has nothing to do with magic, and it actually got really great reviews. And it's a look at this guy who just became so obsessed with the fabric painting techniques of Johannes Vermeer, the Dutch painter, that he wanted to find out how he created this. And so the movie is about this guy's journey in terms of figuring out. Gravity is a lost in space odyssey shot stunningly and realistic.
Yeah, that's
but
George
entirely
and Sandra Bullock,
exactly,
right.
And then just lots of stuff. But the interesting thing about Telluride is you go through the whole festival, you buy tickets for it, you have no idea what you're going to see, but people love it.
Am I going to see this weekend?
Well, you're going to see this is I don't know if this is the ultimate chick flick, but it is. it's actually just a very fun comedy called Austinland, and it stars Carrie Russell as a 30-something woman who is just obsessed with Jane Austen to the point of, you know, relationships and her job and her budget and everything taking a back seat to this just passion for the 18th century author Jane Austen. And she stumbles across this opportunity to go to a Jane Austen theme park in England.
That doesn't really exist, does it?
Well, I don't believe so. But there's a Regency era. It's an immersive experience, and you go and stay in an 18th century mansion, and there are characters that are based on Austen characters, and it's supposed to be very romantic and very immersive, and it's actually just a hilarious film. There are two other women that are in the same immersive experience, and Carrie Russell's character could only buy the cheap package. That was all she could afford. And
so she hangs out with the rich women?
The women that had a little more deluxe package. Right. And then the actors are all supposed to create this romantic setting and you know what's real and what's not real, and it's all very funny, and there's lots of slapstick, there's lots of just situational humor. Jennifer Coolidge is great as this very gauche American woman.
She's funny in almost everything she does,
and this is a great role for her. So anyway, Austinland opens up. It's gotten, you know, it's if you like Jane Austen, if you're looking for that kind of a just kind of broad-based humor, it's definitely worth checking checking out. So Austinland opens this Friday. And then The Attack, which is this really fascinating film about a Palestinian surgeon who lives in Israel, very assimilated into the Tel Aviv society in Israel, has a loving wife and an exemplary career, many Jewish friends. And then all of a sudden, there's this terrorist attack. And the police come and talk to him because they believe it was his wife that instigated this terrorist attack. And he is completely taken aback. What really happens, how this guy's life was disrupted. It's a very compelling film. The Attack also opens this Friday at the Michigan Theater.
It resonates in the real world.
Run. But very dramatic and great, great reviews for The Attack.
And what about The Multiplex?
Well, The Multiplex has Insidious 2. So if you liked Insidious 1,
I did not know there was an Insidious 1.
Insidious Chapter 2. It's done by the guys who did the Saw franchise, James Wan and Lee
Whannell. So it's
going to
be very bloody.
Saw is known as torture porn, and this is more of a haunted house kind of thing.
Never heard it put that way.
And
that's
then
great.
The Family is a film that stars Robert De Niro and Tommy Lee Jones, and Robert De Niro
and Michelle Pfeiffer.
And Michelle Pfeiffer plays his wife, and he's a retired mafia guy who's being protected, and he lives in France, but they get back to their old ways. It's directed by Luc Besson, who's known for The Transporter and The Fifth Element, and there's a lot going on. There's some single screenings of A Family of Film, Wallace and Gromit, The Curse of the Were-Rabbit, which is a lot of fun. That's going to be Sunday at 1 o'clock. There's going to be a Werner Herzog short that's shown that's 35 minutes long, and it's being shown for free on Wednesday the 18th. And it's about texting and driving, commissioned by AT&T, and it's going to be a free screening. If you've got a young driver, come on out and check that one out.
You have your choices. We hope we'll see you at the movies, and we'll do this again next week. For Russ Collins, I'm David Fair, and you've been listening to Cinema Chat on 89.1 WEMU.
Ta-ta from a slightly solar-powered Michigan theater.